Psalm, I guess, probably not a more familiar passage in all the Bible than Psalm 23. But my, the stuff that's in there. You know, you think you know it because you've heard it so many times. And boy, just studying it this week, I learned so much that I didn't know before. So it's always good. Always good. Brother John, you want to read Psalm 23 for us this morning?
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the lesson this morning. Our Father, we are thankful this morning for bringing us here safely and, Lord, allowing us to gather together to open Your Word. What a blessing it is. And I pray that You would bless this hour. And, Lord, teach us from Your Word the things You'd want us to learn this morning. Open the eyes of our understanding. And, Lord, would You make this a blessing. And thank You for what You've shown me this week from this passage. And, Lord, I just pray that I might be able to pass these truths on. And I pray that You would just bless not only this class, but all the classes this morning. Would You meet needs during this hour? And Lord, for the service to follow, as Brother McDonald opens Your Word and preaches to us, I pray that You'd speak to our hearts and give us exactly what we need. Help us to be receptive to Your Word and act upon it. And we'll just thank You and praise You for it. For it's in Jesus' name that we ask it. Amen. All right, again, obviously this is most, one of the more familiar passages in all the Bible. And its focus is on the shepherd and his love and care for the sheep. And I guess probably more importantly, more exactly, it's a sheep's view of the shepherd. I mean, a sheep's telling us what his shepherd does for him and all of those things. And obviously in the Word of God, the Lord places great emphasis upon shepherds. I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but the two greatest leaders in the Old Testament from a human standpoint, David and Moses, and they were both shepherds before they assumed the reins of leadership, you know. And you look at other great men in the Bible, and they come from a shepherding background, you know, Abel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all of those characters, you know. So it must be something about shepherding that's, you know, prepare somebody for leadership. And the Lord obviously looks on those folks and says, they have some characteristics or some abilities that I can use because they've learned something by being a shepherd. I don't know much about shepherding. I grew up on a farm, and we actually had a lamb for a little while. But, you know, about all I know is, they like to follow. Boy, do they like to follow. If you're not careful, they'll just walk right in the house with you, you know. They're really, really something else. But I began looking through websites, you know, try to find some good characteristics of a sheep, you know. And you get a lot of websites from countries that raise sheep. And Australia, and the United Kingdom. I hit a website from Scotland, and I clicked on it, and I was just going through there quickly to see if they had any good characteristics of sheep. And I came across this quote. It says, it was natural that a region in which King James IV at one time had as many as 10,000 sheep and from which much wool was exported to Flanders should have woolen factories, and then list the different towns that they have these factories in. King James IV. That's where you get your Bible from. King James IV of Scotland, King James I of England, one and the same. See? That guy had a background with sheep, had a connection to sheep. And the Lord uses folks that have a connection to sheep, doesn't He? You think any other folks involved in translating these new versions have any connection to sheep? I think not. Well, the chapter begins with the Lord is my shepherd, and we should note a few things about that. And you might want to write this down, because you know how these things go. You think, I'll never forget that, you know. You know, if the Lord's your shepherd, you're a sheep. That's deep, I know it is. And that's not a very flattering thing. A little research, you know, on sheep. It says that sheep rank in intelligence just below the pig, and even with cattle. Now, I've succeeded in violating, you know, the very first law of public speaking. Never talk down to your audience, you know. just called you a sheep, which is, you know, less than a pig. And even with, you know, they say folks are just as dumb as an ox. Well, it's sheep and an ox on the same level, you know. But the Lord takes care of that thing too, because the Lord says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. James 1:5. Well, just because the Lord is your shepherd doesn't mean that He's the only shepherd out there, you know. Folks have that kind of idea, you know. And again, it's one of those familiar psalms, and a lot of people kind of embrace it, you know. But there are other shepherds out there. I was on a Catholic website dealing with the Pope's infallibility. And here's what the Catholics say. This infallibility refers only to teaching concerning faith and morals, and then only when the Holy Father speaks with the full authority he has as the chief shepherd of the flock of Christ. He is not the chief shepherd of the flock of Christ. Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd, according to 1 Peter 5:4. I mean, if he is the first pope, right? He said Jesus Christ was the chief shepherd. Amen. Well, you have these rivals, see, to the good shepherd. And that's one of them. See? Yeah. And he's out there. And he's being promoted. And everybody lifts him up and thinks he's just a wonderful leader, you know. You can't get any bad press on that guy. Whatever he does and says is okay. Yeah. Well, I turn to Zechariah 11. And you'll find this guy right there. Zechariah 11, beginning with verse 15. It says, "And the Lord said unto me, Take unto thee yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young ones, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. Woe to the idol shepherd." Notice that's I-D-O-L, yes. Not I-D-L-E. "Woe to the idol shepherd that leaveth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened." That's a rival to the shepherd. He's an idol shepherd. He's an image worshiper. He's liable to call himself the chief shepherd. Well, we should notice that if the Lord is our shepherd, that there's a personal relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. And throughout the psalm, I mean, David talks like he's the one and only sheep there is, you know. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I mean, doesn't your relationship with the Lord get so close that it's just, you know, like you and Him, that's it, you know. You know, the bride said in Song of Solomon 6:3, she said, "I am my beloved's and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies." The Lord is my shepherd. Well, verse 1 continues and says, "I shall not want." And looking down through the psalm, we see that the shepherd has provided everything a sheep could ever want. Green pastures, still waters, a place to lie down, a restored soul, leadership, a rod and staff to chasten and protect, an anointed head, a cup that runneth over. Man, the Lord just taking care of everything a sheep could ever want. He's been good to me. Been good to you.
Amen.
Verse 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You know why a sheep would lie down in a green pasture? I mean, you'd think an animal that grazes would just spend their time eating in green pastures. But according to one source on sheep, sheep spend about a third of their life ruminating, chewing the cud. That's about a third of their life ruminating. And get this, and need peace and quiet to do it. They need peace and quiet to ruminate, to chew that cud. I guess if you had four stomachs, you'd have to have a lot of time ruminating too, you know. Well, like ruminating sheep, a Christian needs peace and quiet to chew on the Word of God.
Yeah.
The Lord says in Psalm 1:2, but His delight, that's the blessing. That's the one the shepherd has provided all the wants and needs for. You know, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Well, there's an old saying that goes, still waters run deep. And the shepherd leads his sheep to a watering hole that won't dry up. I mean, you know, a bubbling brook might is liable to dry up in time of drought, but man, still waters, they run deep. John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14 says, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, not only that, but He restoreth my soul. Well, He can do that because He is, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Do you know a sheep can't clean itself? Boy, they can get to be a dirty old mess. They have no way to clean themselves. If a sheep is going to get clean, the shepherd is going to have to do it.
Amen.
Titus chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And David said, Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Psalm 51:7. He restoreth my soul. Well, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And this is the second time that David mentions the leadership of the shepherd. That leadership is connected to his voice. So I wasn't surprised to learn that sheep have an excellent sense of hearing. They say that a little lamb can distinguish its mother's bleat from all other sheep. That's what I call an excellent sense of hearing. You know? Turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Beginning in verse 1, we'll read down through verse 8. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. These sheep in John chapter 10 are operating by sight. Or not? They're not operating by sight. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. They don't recognize the shepherd's face. They don't distinguish their shepherd by the clothes that he wears. They don't recognize his mannerisms. They don't even know him by any miracles that he performed. I just threw that in there for any charismatics out there. You know? Every one of those things can be imitated. Every one of those things. So a sheep doesn't know his shepherd by those things. I believe someone said about the Lord Jesus Christ, never man spake like this man. There's something about his voice. Those sheep are operating by faith, and that faith is in the sound of the shepherd's voice. You know why I'm a King James Bible believer? Well, it's not because of the manuscript evidence. I'm glad there is manuscript evidence. It's not because my pastor is a King James Bible believer, and thank God he is. We're blessed to have him. I love him and appreciate him. But that's not it. I've seen a lot of people have good Bible-believing, King James Bible-believing pastors, and the pastor gets called away or something, and they're gone. They're picking up the new versions. They come and go. That's not why I'm a King James Bible believer. It's not because I heard a dynamic sermon or, read some outstanding materials that defend the book or got swept up in a King James Bible conference or something. All of those things are good and wonderful. But that's not it. That's not it. It's much simpler than that. When I open the pages of the book, I hear His voice in there. That's the difference. I don't hear His voice in those new versions. I don't hear His voice in the original manuscripts, as if they were around anyway. I don't hear my voice in my concordance. I hear His voice in my old King James Bible, and the voice is in English.
That's right.
You know why it's in English? Because I wouldn't recognize it if it wasn't in English. I don't know Hebrew and Greek. So my shepherd talks in a language that I can understand. So I know him. I wouldn't know him if he spoke to me in Hebrew or Greek. My shepherd doesn't speak to me in an unknown tongue. You know, the only time I remember the Lord dealing with a man in a language that he didn't understand, it was a heathen king, old Belshazzar. Handwriting on the wall. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. But you know what? Before judgment fell, a translation of that thing was made. So he could understand it. Lord's interested in getting His Word out there for folks to hear it. Now, I want you to know this morning, just like we talked about that idle shepherd being out there, there's some other voices out there, and those voices are competing with the shepherd's voice. Those voices are trying to lead you away from your shepherd. Verse 5 in John 10 says, They know not the voice of strangers. Verse 8 says, All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Do you know there was another voice in the Garden of Eden beside the voice of the Lord God walking? There was another voice in there. And that voice said, Yea, have God said. There's voices like that today, and they're trying to rob the sheep of the authority of the shepherd's voice. So you hear folks say things like, well, a better translation would be, the oldest and best manuscripts say this. You need a modern Bible for modern times. If you're going to reach anybody, you're going to have a modern Bible. The King James Bible is filled with archaic words. Oh, and it's unfortunate that those King James translators couldn't translate the word baptize, you know. No Bible scholars adopt your position on inspiration. No translation is inspired, you know. What is that? That's competing voices. They're trying to rob you of your authority and trying to keep you from hearing your shepherd's voice. Your shepherd's voice is right there. That's all you need. Make sure you're following the shepherd's voice. And don't take my word for it. If you don't believe what I just said, pray about it. Open that book. Pray about it. See if that's not the shepherd's voice. That is the voice of the Lord right there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Now a sheep doesn't have to fear the valley of the shadow of death because his shepherd is with him. His shepherd became the Lamb of God. John chapter 1 verse 10, and Isaiah 53:7 says about him, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He's been through that valley before. He's gone before us. We don't have to fear. He's been there. Now, it's a good thing that the shepherd goes through the valley with the sheep, because sheep have trouble with shadows. The article that I found on sheep said this: they have a poor depth perception. For this reason, sheep will avoid shadows or harsh contrast between light and darkness. They will move toward the light. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. Jesus Christ dealing with Nicodemus, and he says, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, a sheep tends to be a creature of fear. I guess that's why there are so many commands in the Word of God to fear not. You know, every time the Lord shows up, He's telling folks to fear not. Again, the article on sheep illustrates this point. It says, sheep are timid, nervous, and easily frightened animals, and for the most part, defenseless against predators like coyotes and wild dogs. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I see some of these wild animals that you have to be concerned about and worried about. Acts chapter 20. Look at verses 28 and 29. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And be worried about those wolves getting in there. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The article said that these sheep have to be worried about things like coyotes and wild dogs. Philippians chapter 3, look at verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Watch out for those dogs. Sheep got to be concerned about those things. Well, back to Psalm 23, verse 4, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's rod is used for chastening and protection, too. You know, it's like there's two sides to that thing. You know, chastening isn't a pleasant thing to endure when you're experiencing it. But later, it brings comfort.
Yeah.
It's a comforting thing when you think about it after the fact. I remember getting chastened as a kid. Never enjoyed it. But you know, afterward, you know, it had a good effect. Right? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You know, when you're getting chastened too, there's also that idea that, you know, the strength behind that whooping can be used on somebody else who might want to do me harm, you know. That same rod can be turned loose on a dog or a coyote or a wolf in the flock, you know. That's a comforting thing. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Sheep have many enemies. And according to, again, the source on sheep, the primary reason they like to flock together is for protection.
Yeah.
Sheep just get together because there's dogs out there and because there's wolves out there. Do you know that we as Christians are to flock together too? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." We flock together. It's a protecting kind of thing. You know, isn't it a great thing just to gather together away from the world and all of that junk that's out there? And doesn't it give you strength so that when you leave you can fight the battle a little better, more effectively, and you know, it's important. See? Folks say, "Well, I can worship God anywhere, you know." Well, maybe you can, but you're told to flock together. Right? It's something that'll help you. It's a protecting kind of thing. The Lord knows you're a sheep. Right? You need that thing. You need to get together. Speaking of enemies, the source also says that sheep have a flight zone, which is the space they like to keep between themselves and others. If that flight zone isn't there, they get real nervous, real upset, uncomfortable. And the Lord knows that. We're sheep. We like to have a flight zone too. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Sounds like a flight zone, an opportunity to get away.
Yeah.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, Paul says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." There's some things we're to run from. You know. There's some things we need to get away from. And the Lord knows that. And the Lord provides for these things for us. Verse 5, the last half there, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." Well, this obviously has to do with the Lord blessing His people. But notice that this blessing comes in the presence of mine enemies. That kind of reminds me of old King Ahasuerus in the book of Esther. ordering Haman, you know, the enemy of the Jews, and in particular, somebody you just hated, Mordecai, a Jew. King Ahasuerus orders that guy to parade Mordecai through the streets and just treat him like royalty for a day. Isn't the Lord good? I mean, that's preparing, you know, a table in the presence of mine enemies. That's the kind of thing the Lord does, you know. He just enjoys that kind of thing. I kind of enjoy it too. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now the shepherd of the sheep is out front leading the flock. And the sheep are listening to and following the voice of the shepherd. But following the sheep are just two marvelous things. Goodness and mercy. I've heard them likened to two, you know, sheep dogs out there keeping you in line. You know, maybe that is. That works for me. I know, times where I've wandered away from the Lord, gone astray. You know, the Lord's good and merciful. You know, I've met those two along the way. You know, and they bring you back in line. Thank God for it. Well, finally, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, Jesus Christ said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Sounds like I'm going to be dwelling in the house of the Lord forever. That's a good thing. Well, let me just give you a couple of other things that I learned from this article. Don't really apply necessarily to Psalm 23, but I thought they were kind of interesting. And I thought, well, if I had a little time, I'll just throw those things in there. Strangely enough, I didn't think I'd get through with what I had anyway. But sheep prefer to move into the wind. Wind, that's a type of the Holy Spirit. I like to face into the wind. You know? And uphill rather than downhill. You know, what is it, the song? I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. No wonder that sheep doesn't like to go in the valley of the shadow. That sheep don't like to go down. Now the shepherd will lead you down sometimes, but they like to go up, see? And sheep form strong bonds, and strong connections, see? And, you know, you look around at folks, in church, you say, what do we have in common? You know, well, we got one thing in common. We all know the shepherd, you know. And, boy, as different and diverse as our backgrounds are and something, we have that strong bond in common, you know. It's an amazing thing. Well, just some things on sheep this morning. We're done a little early, but I guess that's all right. We'll just leave it there for today.